Hello, everyone. Welcome to Hockey Talkie, the fantasy hockey podcast where we help you set your fantasy lineups. It's like this is the bonus episode we were talking about. It was like 3 days ago we did a podcast. Now we are up and running again. We're going to try to do them Sundays from now on just to keep it consistent. And we got all those Saturday games to talk about. I got Jesse with me here. How's it going, Jesse?
Doing good. Yeah, I watched a lot of games yesterday. Kind of a weird fantasy Saturday. Not a lot of productive stars kind of thing. So it was all right. But yeah. That Philly-Pittsburgh game was good.
Yep, that was fun to watch.
So, we'll see. Try to find some new players for you guys in the next 3 days, kind of thing that we haven't mentioned already, so we'll do with that. Start off with some news.
Yeah, we're going to do news, and then we're going to go with our rundown of the week. We're going to do the risers and fallers, and then we'll do the kudos at the end. Something I just wanted to mention before we get into the news and the injuries that have happened is that the reason it's weird for fantasy right now is because coaches are giving every player time on the ice. They're not playing their stars, all the power plays. They're cycling through players. So you're going to have some weeks, like I feel like this weekend was really weird for our league because the stars weren't coming out, but all these like randos were popping up all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, we're approaching that game 9, game 10 where you get that rookie contract burn up, so I imagine things will change by then. I'm not sure. Well, there's probably a good handful of rookies that will disappear, which will shore up the rosters and help make fantasy a little bit more consistent, if that's possible. But as it is right now, yeah, there's still lots of people getting minutes they shouldn't be getting, players getting too many or not enough, so keep an eye on that.
That's like goalies. Like, a lot of backups are taking starts right now.
Yeah.
Even, like, for Holtby, I want him to play every single game, but he's still not playing every game, but that's just because they're saving him for the stretch. So hold on to your team. Don't lose faith in some of your guys. Don't worry. The rosters will shorten up. Those benches will become smaller and smaller, and you're just going to see, like, the Giroux and the Tavares playing 25 minutes a game because they're playoff push, right?
Yeah, it should get back to normal pretty soon. Just got to get out of this rookie contract stuff, and then you can see who's actually going to make the team. And go from there. Like, I'm hoping Konechny makes the team. There's a few other rookies that are just auto locks as well. Obviously, your Matthews and stuff like that. So we'll see. There might be some cuts. Like, maybe Tkachuk might go. Dylan Strome hasn't been playing. He's been scratched a lot, but I don't think they'll send him down. There's a few other ones that just escape me right now. But we have to keep an eye on those. So hopefully you don't have a rookie that gets sent down. If you do, make sure to pick up some of the players we mentioned for you guys and keep an eye out for that.
It'll all change. Don't panic. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's only 10 games
in. Yeah, like 9, not even, yeah.
Not even. All right, so the news injury report from last week, there were some notable names. Parise.
I like Parise. I think it's Parise.
I thought it was Parise.
I don't think it's Parise.
All right, he went out with a lower body injury. Coach said he's week to week. I hate week to week because it's not day to day.
Yeah, that's
if it's day to day, it's like one day is fine, but a whole week, you're missing 2 to 3 games.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. Parise is, you know, he gets injured every year. Doesn't matter what it is. If it's an ankle, foot, apparently it's lower body this time. Could be groin. We're not really sure. I mean, week to week, I guess minimum 2 weeks. I guess 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
The Wild Rush doing really good. Yes. I mean, obviously it was goaltending. Not so much Parise lighting it up, but it's going to hurt the team. He's obviously number one guy, so keep an eye out for him for the next 3 weeks. I don't know.
Stash him. You're obviously not going to drop him.
Yeah.
He's too good. A guy I have written down is Nino Niederreiter got moved into his spot on the top line there, so that might be a substitute for the week or 2 weeks when he's out. And it seems like everyone on Minnesota is getting points.
Yeah, Minnesota's weird right now. It's like there's no clear score. It's like every game it's something different. It's like, oh, Erickson Ek, I had him yesterday, he did nothing. Or then you have Coyle showing up, and then Coyle was showing up. Niederreiter's getting points. Erik Staal, obviously. So it feels like you can pick any of those players, I guess.
And just sub them in for a couple
weeks.
Yeah,
and there's a chance they'll get something during the week. Yeah, the Wild, they're definitely flying high right now, so they've got some confidence, and Niederreiter's probably a good substitute, I would agree. He's got that offensive upside, so it's a matter of time.
And then the next one here, you're not going to like this because this doesn't help our bet that we made at the beginning. But yeah, Kucherov is out, an upper body injury. Coach said a couple games. I don't know how many that's going to be. But a couple games means it's not, it could be 2 or 3 weeks. Maybe they only play a couple.
Yeah, I'd have to check the Lightning schedule. I mean, on average, that's probably just a week injury, I think, probably. I imagine he'll be back next time, just by Saturday next week. Sucks for the team. Kucherov, when he's like back to regular Kucherov self, which kind of makes sense if he's been injured because he's been ice cold. I don't understand. And this guy, is still the best player on that team. So keep an eye out for him. I guess the obviously same thing. Stash him. Hopefully he's back in a week or so. For people stepping up, I don't know. I think you mentioned Killorn is starting to move up again.
No, not Killorn yet. Drouin is actually stepped onto into his role.
Yeah, we'll Kucherov see. Yeah, we can see how long Drouin sticks. It's kind of a whipping boy for the coach, but we'll see. But yeah, Drouin's a good replacement if he's not drafting your league for sure.
Then your guy Vanek.
Yeah, he got.
We just finished talking about how good he was doing.
Yeah, he got downgraded from day to day to week, so. Stash him. He still has 8 points in 7 games. He's going to come back and be rested. So, I don't know. Detroit's kind of in a tough spot. They just got shut out yesterday, so they obviously miss Vanek. For people stepping up, I don't know. Like,
I wrote down Tatar. He's going to be filling the power play role, they were saying. Which isn't a bad pick. Tatar might actually be drafted most people's drafts anyway. You won't be able to pick him up.
Yeah. There's not really a lot of stealthy guys there like that. Athanasiu carry is not that offensive. Helm's been okay. Keep an eye on that to see who they fill in. But yeah, if it is Tatar, then he's probably most likely drafted in the later rounds through most leagues. But if he's available, keep an eye on him, and you might be able to pick him up and stream him for 2 or 3 weeks, and maybe he'll chisel those power play points.
Yeah, if I was a Vanek owner, I would probably just drop him. If I don't have enough IR spots already, I already have bigger names on my IR right now, I would just drop Vanek for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. If he gets picked up, then that's my loss, but 2 weeks could be, 15 points that you're missing.
Yeah, you can find someone else. Our league has 2 IR spots, so he's safely stashed on mine. I got no major injuries, so I'm doing okay there. If you only have the 1 spot, chances are, Vanek's...
Is it safe to drop? Or what do you think? Do you think it's better stash, or would you drop?
Depends what you can get, I guess, obviously. I don't know. I like Vanek. I think he's doing great. At those sheltered minutes are doing good for him. 8 points in 7 games is pretty hard to argue with. So, but if there are, any star or any player, even if, say, Marchessault got injured, I would put Marchessault over Vanek, like that kind of tier. Like, if you have a performing player, don't hang on to Vanek for too long because maybe he'll get cold. But if you got the spot, hang on. I will be hanging on, but we got 2 spots, so I got the luxury of that.
I don't know what the standard is for other leagues, if they have 1 IR or 2.
Yeah, I don't know.
We had 1 before. We just recently changed to 2.
Yeah.
Because we found that injuries were dictating the pool of who would win and who would lose.
Yeah,
because
you start stashing people on your roster spots because you don't want to lose these guys, and it started getting out of hand. So,
yeah.
Even this year, as you've seen, there's been, again, so many injuries. I think every team in our league has the full 2 IR filled up, and let alone some people are just rostering dead players like Backuses and stuff like that. So,
yeah, which is our next guy.
Yeah, exactly.
David Backus. He's out with an elbow injury. 3 games minimum is what they were saying. He didn't travel for their road trip, which is 3 games.
Yeah.
So maybe he's out a week or something. Bruins are terrible on the right wing side. The guy that's supposed to be replacing him is Danton Heinen.
I saw his name on Daily Faceoff, and I was like, what?
I don't know. Their right wing is terrible.
Yeah, so...
And that's with Bergeron and Marchand
and stuff, yeah.
And then Danton Heinen. And...
Well, keep an eye out for him, I guess. If he shows up and gets the minutes, maybe he's worth the week road trip slot in. I have no Bleacher Report on this guy. I have nothing. I've never heard of him in my life. So that's going to make me pretty non-committal about picking him up, to be honest. I won't be reaching for him, that's for sure.
Backus is one of those guys that I might just drop and look for someone else, too. He's been ultra cold. He was supposed to be really good in that Boston, play style. But
yeah, he had a really good first two games,
I think. Even the preseason, we were talking about in the preseason pod that he was doing okay.
Like, he was looking good there. He had some good chemistry with Marchand, and I think it was Krejci at the time, because Bergeron was injured. Mm-hmm. And that line actually looked really good, and then obviously they broke it up when Bergeron got back. And he's been, pretty, like, doing nothing. Like, literally nothing. So, if you're starving for spots, maybe Backes is a trade bait. Trade him to someone who has a spot and try to get something from him, or maybe just let him go. Because he hasn't been doing too much. We'll have to keep an eye on when he gets back and what minutes they're going to give him, kind of thing. But as of right now, he's like a second line, third line. He's not. He wasn't doing anything, really. So, but I mean, Bruins in general have been pretty brutal. So,
they've been getting the wins, but just not points.
Yeah,
they They score two goals a game.
Yeah, I was gonna say you win 1-0 against Detroit last night. You win like 2-1. If it's not named Marchand, there's chances are you're not getting a lot of points of a Bruin player right now.
I think Backes would be perfect for, like, a package deal. If you're trying to make a trade, you'd be like, they'll throw him Backes, too, because he's still a popular name.
Yeah, I agree. You can do, like, a 3-for-2 kind of thing.
Yeah. And Backes has, like, upside. You know, he's out right now, but he has the upside to come back, and people always look at that. He fetches more with his name.
Yeah, I mean, you think of 50-point minimum, you think of the PIM, you think of the hits, you think of everything, power play points. So, I would agree. Might as well.
All right, that's all the news and stuff, or that's all the injury news for the week.
I got some news as well, goalie-wise. Craig Anderson is back.
Yep.
His wife got announced with cancer, so thoughts out for his wife. That sucks. We thought, I mean, like me personally, I thought he would take a little bit more time off. I mean, cancer is pretty serious stuff, so I know I've already said it, but, you know, our thoughts are out with his wife. But he's back. This is motivation, obviously. He's going to be hungry. I mean, I guess I don't know. It's whatever you can do to take your mind off, like, with the situations at home. So hopefully you didn't bail on Craig too soon.
People still have him.
I'm sure you still have him, but so make sure you can still start him. The other thing is, Islanders are talking about trading Halak, which is interesting. I don't know if they were on a roll of Grice train or. But apparently Halak's agent is super unhappy with the three-goalie system they got going on there.
Who's the third one?
I don't know either. I read the article, and so we'll see where he goes. I mean, if Halak gets traded to the Kings, for example, you literally have probably the best goalie in fantasy, possibly, because I can't even imagine. I can't think of too many other teams that are goalie start besides maybe Phoenix, but Halak on Phoenix really isn't that worth. Those are the two articles I read recently about goaltending, so we'll have to see how those unfold for now.
You know what, I've never really ever been that impressed with Halak. I liked him when he was in Montreal and doing his thing, but ever since he's left, I don't know if he has what it takes to be a starter.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know,
like, as a
good.
Yeah, I mean, as a Washington fan, watching that Montreal playoff series, it was, like, just disgusting how good he was. But then he cashed in on his deals, and he's just been good, I guess.
He's been average.
Yeah, I mean, good to,
maybe he needs a change of scenery. Maybe that's what he needs.
I don't know. Like, the Islanders are not good, so I know I've said good a lot here, but it's tough, man. We'll see where he goes. But that's the word out in Islanders, so I don't know if it's going to happen. It seems kind of silly to me to trade Halak, but I don't know what they can get back. We'll see.
They really like Grice, maybe.
Yeah, I mean,
who knows?
Yeah, Grice is cheap.
All right, you ready to get into the week's action and our risers and fallers?
Yeah, I'm good to go.
All right, I'll start it off. My first forward riser is, we already talked about briefly in the injury news, because Parise is out, but I put Nino Niederreiter in here because he's filling that role, and Minnesota seems to be scoring a lot.
Yeah, they're scoring
4 or 5 goals a game.
Yeah, it's wicked. He's getting the minutes, and he's scoring. I mean, he had points last night, so I imagine it's not going to stop. So, I mean, I wouldn't expect, like, mega multi-point games, but he's chiseling in. It feels like one or two points every once in a while, so I would agree that's definitely a good riser.
Yeah, he's worth a pickup. We tried to go a little deeper than, like, the guys that are already drafted on your draft board, so maybe these guys will help you out. Who do you got as your riser number one?
My riser is Colton Sevier. it obviously sounds more genius now because he has 4 points today.
But three goals.
Yeah. But I was looking at him before today, and he's been getting the minutes on that second line and even some power play time on that second line. So he plays with Trocheck, and he gets the second unit power play. So I would keep an eye out for him in deeper leagues. He may regress and disappear, but as it is right now, he's actually a pretty good option on that left side. So I would keep an eye out for Sevior, and if you could get him in or get some favorable matchups during the week. Florida's playing maybe, I don't know, who's a trench team these days. I can't even think of Vancouver-ish tiers or something like that. Yeah, it might be a good idea to slot him in. Or even Winnipeg's been doing really bad, so look for those kind of teams, and he's definitely a riser for me.
Yeah, Florida's one of those teams that's playing everyone.
Yeah.
Seems like everyone is getting 15 minutes.
Yeah, there's no one.
There's no one that's stepping up. Yeah, exactly. It's just kind of rotate through the guys, see who we like.
Yeah, I mean, you can't play Jagr more than 60 minutes a game kind of thing, or he, like, just dies. So that's why you got to keep these lines, like, flowing kind of thing. So Florida's definitely a good team for that.
All right, next forward on my list. I'm going to say it again.
Yeah, I know.
And you don't like it. I know you don't like it. You will come around. Alex Kilhorn. He was in the basement in Tampa, but now he is on the second line. He's getting second line power play time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he did just sign a 7-year deal with them. He is part of their future.
Yeah, that's insane. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Obviously, he's earning it. 7 years seems ridiculous to me. I actually didn't even know he got signed. I'd have to check the term. Like, what kind of money were they giving him? Because I don't know what Kilhorn is particularly worth. I know Tampa's kind of a cap stressed team, so maybe they got a good term on it. I'm sure we'll find out. But yeah, beyond that, I mean, Killorn's been doing good. His shooting percentage is still working for him. Yeah, other than that, Tampa's doing pretty good, so I would agree. Killorn's definitely worth a waiver pickup. I'm sure he's available on most teams. Yeah, so we'll see.
Anyway, I just checked it for you. It's...
oh, what do we got?
4.4.
Oh, that's... well, actually, I don't know if that's good or not.
Per year for 7.
4 year, I guess. Yeah, I mean, sure. Okay.
I feel like they're going to make him more of their future than we realize. Well, I kind of think he's already there. Like, he's getting the time now.
Yeah, he's been there for a while. He just always was super satellite kind of player, like extraneous, shows up in the playoffs kind of thing. So, yeah, maybe he's transitioning to a regular season guy. So, this is a player you should probably just pick up now.
Yeah.
Just do it. Just pick him up. Why not? See what happens for the year kind of thing, because I'm sure we'll see him on these lists for the next while, and there's no point not to at this point. I mean, obviously, he's doing well, so I would pick this guy up as soon as I can and just roll, see what happens.
If the coaching staff sees that he's rising.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's the real sign for me, is if he is playing different minutes, mm-hmm. getting more power play time, and those are all thumbs up for him.
Yeah, no, that's great.
What do you got for your second one?
My second riser is more of a popular name, but I'm going to have to give him props anyway. It's Jeff Skinner. Jeff Skinner has been probably the hottest forward in the league. I don't know. He went late in our drafts because always the concussion history or just chances of just never showing up. So, but he's been on absolute fire. If you can trade for this player, I would try to get him as soon as I can. I mean, he has another 2 or 3 points tonight. It's just nuts. I don't know what else to say. The Carolina is not a good team by any means, but props to Skinner. He is killing it. Whoever drafted him out there in the world, I hope you kept him when you drafted him, because he is just on fire. And yeah, if you can sort of coerce him from another fantasy owner because saying, oh, he's going to regress, or he's due for a concussion kind of thing or whatever.
Oh, he is due for a concussion.
Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, what can you do, right? But as it is right now, Skinner is my riser, massive riser, and I wish I had him on my team because he is just burning goalies everywhere.
Did you know he's second on the team in scoring right now?
Second doesn't make sense. I don't know who would be doing
Rask.
Yeah, well, I guess for today, yeah, we'll see, but... yeah, Victor Rask and Skinner, that line. It's just been on fire.
Rask was the last podcast riser for me, too.
Yeah.
Last one for me, I'm just going to reiterate a riser that everyone knows by now, Marchessault. He's playing in Florida. He is obviously taking Huberto's spot right now.
Yeah,
top line, top minutes everywhere.
No competition there.
So, I really like him, and if he's not already picked up in your leagues, you should obviously get him.
Mm-hmm.
But realize that come January 1st, He's not going to be playing that those minutes. He's not going to be playing on that top line anymore. He is just a spot holder right now. But that's not to say you're not going to get 3 good months of him until then.
Oh, no, exactly. I mean, he'll hold that spot. Huberto will come back. He'll get put on the second line. Oh, boo-hoo. So he's still going to get minutes. He still probably might even get a niche spot in the top power play, depending on what he does. Or even he'll still be power play for sure, if second unit barring. But, yeah, Marchessault is there to stay, and he... I wouldn't be surprised if he cashes in on a nice deal this year, because he did admirably in that position. So,
yeah, 10 points in 8 games.
Yeah, what can you ask for? That's elite. That's elite production. So,
that is super good. Who knows if he can maintain that?
Yeah, I mean, he went scoreless his last game, which whatever, it happens. So we'll have to see down the stretch, 20-25 games in, when we get near January, to see what kind of pace he holds up. But as it is right now, pick him up. You have to.
Yeah.
Last forward riser is Burakovsky. He was a ghost for about 3 games. Finally, it looks like he's clicking. He was playing with Oshie last night. He got 2 points there, hanging out with Oshie. The minutes are coming back. I would look for him to pick up, keep an eye on him, because they're definitely giving him the minutes again, and it looks like he's kind of found a spot with Oshie, so he's on my riser on the forwards. And the caps are always dangerous. I mean, when you're clearing up space for your Ovechkins, Kuznetsovs, and stuff on the first line, this makes space for you guys like Burakovsky's. So he's a guy to take a look at. He's not a massive riser, but from where he was a definite riser.
Keep an eye out for him. He's someone that might not be drafted.
Yeah,
in some leagues. He's a little bit of a deeper player.
Yeah.
You were just telling me that you were trying to trade him away.
Yeah.
I think last night
I might still trade him. I might still trade him, honestly. It's just he's rising, so maybe his trade value is going up, and I might just move him still.
Yeah.
So if you have Burakovsky owner like myself, decide what you want to do, because as it is right now, this is the time you'd probably want to move or decide if you want to keep. So I'm going to look at him for the next couple games. Capitals play, I think, 3 games like back-to-back here kind of thing. Oh, so it's a good little barometer test to see what he's going to get. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with him just yet, but as it is, he's finally on the upswing. So I have to give props to him for that.
There you go. All right, let's move into the forward drop, or players that are declining or have had a bad start so far. Mm-hmm. A giant one that sticks out to me is Shane Doan.
Yeah, Doan, of course.
He's getting a little older, and he was a daily fantasy play before, last couple years. He was always good for some hits, and he always got 50 points on that Phoenix team. He's on the third line now. He's not even on one of the top two. He's not playing any power play. I would say drop.
Yeah, Doan's got
straight up drop.
Yeah, Doan's got to be a drop. I never liked Doan anyway, but he always shows up at the end of the year and he ends up with like 20 goals or something, so it's ridiculous. If you're hanging on to Doan for the hope there, I don't think it's coming this year or anytime soon. Third line Phoenix is literally a wasteland. There's nothing there. Especially with no power play time, unless he's getting into fights every game for your PIM leagues, I would cut this guy pretty quick.
Who do you got for one of your fallers?
One of my fallers, I got kind of stars for my fallers, so they might be kind of players for like trade bait to bug people. I got Philip Forsberg. This guy probably was drafted very early in most leagues. I took him as my second forward overall. He has 5 assists over like 7-8 games, so it's not like he's doing totally bad.
What do you want from your players?
But I need him to score a goal. Like, this guy had 33 goals last year. Like, he was supposed to turn into like a, you know, a 40 goal threat.
Yep.
And it's already 9 games in and he's got no goals. Like, this is brutal. So the chances of him returning to that form is pretty unlikely. I think he still will hit the 30 goal mark. He'll probably get it together soon, but I don't think he'll be flirting with that 40 goals that I predicted or was even thinking of with this brutal start. Forsberg is a guy I would target in trades. I think he will turn it around eventually, but as it is right now, Nashville and him included are pretty cold right now, so definitely a faller for me.
Nashville scores from the defense. We were talking about this last pod.
Yeah, but not Subban or not Josi right now. It's been Arvidsson, and like, it's just been a weird start for Nashville. I've been pretty depressed because I went Nashville heavy in the draft and I'm not being rewarded at all right now, so... and Forsberg so far is my biggest disappointment.
My second forward that's dropping is Louis Erickson in Vancouver. Signed a contract, got some big money, left Dallas. I think he's a phenomenal talent. I think he's very good. But he's not playing with the Sedins anymore. They took him off that line. They put Sutter up there. He's got 4 assists through the 9 games. What I have written beside wait, because I'm not going to drop him. I'm not going to send him to waivers. Because I think he still can be valuable. He just needs to find some chemistry with the Sedins and get back into, I don't know, game 4. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. I mean, he was with the Sedins on Team Sweden. Yeah. He left the Bruins, by the way, not Dallas. I mean, he was on Dallas, so I'll
keep going. Oh, yeah, that's right.
But, so, I mean, yeah.
He bounced,
yeah. So, yeah, I mean, he was on Sweden. He looked great with the Sedins. So I don't know what's happening there. He was a 30-goal scorer last year. Obviously, the same kind of thing. 4 assists, no goals. That's pretty sad to see on a team that needs scoring so bad.
Well, that's why they brought him in, yeah.
I have no idea why they don't just leave him on the top line and just pray eventually it goes in. Like, I don't know why people... I'm not a coach, so I can't say it, but if you got a guy that scored 30 last year, why are you not giving him the top line minutes and just praying he gets his game? So, again, wait for sure. Wait for sure. I would not be dropping this guy. Possible trade bait if you want to pick him up from someone, but...
Buy low candidate?
Super buy low. I mean, the way it's seeming now, I would be surprised if he cracks 50 to 55 points. I think that'd be a safe thing. So maybe trade one of these, like, you know, like, say you picked up Marchessault or something like that, right? Like, one of these kind of players that might disappear that are just holding a spot. Mm-hmm. Keep an eye out for them kind of thing, like that kind of ish type of a trade. But if you have Eriksson, hold on to him. Just don't expect the 60 to 70 points, 30 goals, unless he gets hot. But as of right now, he's not going to get hot not playing with the Sedins. There's no way. So
he'll bounce back. I feel like he should bounce back.
Yeah.
Who's your second? Another star.
Yeah, another star. A star on the stars.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, Spezza. supposed to be the second line center. He was injured for a couple games, but he's been an absolute ghost. The whole offense on the Stars has been a ghost. I don't know how long they're going to stay in this funk. I mean, you got Ben and Sagan. It just doesn't make sense. I mean,
keepers in most leagues, yeah, Ben and Sagan.
They have to be, for sure. Ben is... probably a top 2, top 3 pick in any fantasy league. I mean, he's that good. He doesn't have... well, he's been doing okay. Sagan's been pretty cold by his standards. Obviously, Sharp's been down for a while. Hudler just came back last game.
Yeah.
So that's some offensive punch. I mean, he'll probably play with Spezza. But as it is right now, they're a super, super cold team. I mean, you got players like... Richie and Eves and... well,
Devin Shore is second on the team after Sagan, and Ben is third.
Yeah.
With 4 points in 8 games.
Yeah, see, that's just despicable. That's awful. I feel for you Stars owners. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Like, 4 points for Jamie Benn over 8 games is not...
Devin Shore, pick him up. Is he playing on the top line for some reason?
Devin Shore, there you go. New riser. New riser. Keep an eye out for Devin Shore. Spets is my faller, and I don't see them recovering anytime soon. They got to get their stuff together, otherwise there's going to be some serious, serious changes. This might not even be a playoff team the way they're playing right now. There's no excuse to have 4 points from Jamie Benn right now.
What do you do with Spets?
Trade? Why not? He did good last year. Trade him to someone, try to get something. Try to get a mid-tier player from somewhere. Obviously, things will regress back to the mean, and stuff will get back. But as of right now, this team looks like it's in a serious slump, and this slump could last a while. We've seen this.
Need to figure out their goalie situation.
Yeah, we've seen this last year. They had slumps, even like Philly-style slumps kind of thing. Like, this could be a 13 to 15-game slump where they just score 1 or 2 goals a game and nobody gets going. So, I don't know. Keep an eye out on the Stars because they are not doing good, and I think Spets is going to be a huge casualty of this team, which I'm sure a lot of other poolies took in at least the first 10 rounds, I'm sure. He was a 9th or 10th round forward kind of thing for most teams.
Yeah, he could be. Okay, let's go on to my last faller. Hägglund?
Hägglund shouldn't even be a faller. Ugh.
No? Well, I just wanted to bring the attention to that line that was so good. Bonino, Hägglund, and Kessel.
Yeah.
Right? They were really good in the playoffs in Pittsburgh, and people were kind of wondering if that's going to carry over.
Yeah.
It is not.
Nope.
Bonino and Hägglund are both gone. Yeah. Instant drops. If you have him on your team, get rid of him. Pick up someone else. Kessel is moving around. Kessel's too skilled to not get points wherever he is. So Kessel's still a good pick, but the Hägglund and Bonino, they both have a point. They're third line. They're not doing anything. Drop, drop.
Yeah, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I said before when we were doing the team previews that these guys are not regular season players. Please do not spend picks on Hägglund or Bonino. Kessel's playing with Malkin now. It's Malkin, Kunitz, Kessel right now. So maybe even look for Kunitz if you can as a swap for Hägglund. But these guys are just ice cold. They're going to be playing the penalty kill. So you might see some shorthanded points every once in a while. But I wouldn't be attached to Hägglund or Bonino. But as you mentioned, just Hägglund in general, for sure. 1 point is not enough on Pittsburgh. That team scores 5 goals a game. There's no excuse.
Yeah, exactly.
My last faller.
Another star. You're digging into these guys.
I'm just digging into these underproducing guys. Is Krejci. I know we talked about the Bruins without Backes and stuff, but Krejci has not been doing well. He's the second line center. He always starts off strong and then disappears.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's starting
usually off, from an injury.
Exactly, yeah. So now he's healthy and starting off slow. So this has got to be a huge red flag for most people. Because usually Krejci just lights up the league at the beginning of the year. We've seen this year after year, and then, of course, gets injured, disappears. But to be actually healthy, playing the minutes, and just not performing, that is a huge red flag for me. I would move this guy as soon as you can. I'm not a huge Krejci fan. I don't know what you can get for him at this point, but he's a huge, huge faller for me, in my opinion, for his position and minutes-wise.
Yeah, but he is definitely... I don't know, because I always like to see him. Like, when I see him on my draft board when I'm drafting, I say, oh, this is a steal of a deal. Yeah. Krejci's coming up.
Yeah, he's going to get 50 assists, usually, you think, over 80 games, and then whatever, under 10 goals or maybe 10, 15 goals.
But then the next round, he's still there.
Yeah.
And then the next round, he's still there. And the next round, you're like,
and then you take him, yeah.
Like, I gotta take him. I'm 10 rounds in, I gotta take Krejci with my 10th pick. Why not?
Yeah.
And then it's just always, do not draft. Do not draft in my eyes.
Yeah, he's in a tough spot.
All right, let's go on to some defense for you to pick up. There's a lot of guys that had really good weeks and a lot of defensemen that really stepped up.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Hamonic. There we go. He had 2 goals, 4 assists.
Yeah, that's insane.
In the 8 games. We drafted the other Islanders' defense.
Yeah, we have Boychuk, Letty, all those guys are gone.
But Hamonic is playing top line. He's playing, like, top defensive pair, and then second power play unit. So we always talk about how the opportunity is there for this guy. Big minutes. You're going to get rewarded just from other people scoring, just from touching the puck on that secondary assist. And he is doing it crazy. I would pick him up.
Yeah, Hamonic's doing great. He got points again today, as I checked before we started. Definitely a sneaky pick. I mean, it's a super unattractive name. I mean, when I think of Islanders defense, I think of Letty, Boychuk. I would never think of Hamonic. But if he's getting those minutes, I would pick him up. Why not? He's definitely a riser.
What do you got for your first defense?
Mine is a similar kind of situation. It is Noah Hanifin.
I love that pick.
He's on Carolina. He's been doing great. But again, when you think of Carolina, you think of Falk. You think of these other defensemen on this team. But he's been quietly getting the kind of lesser matchups, getting a lot of assists, even a few goals. So I'm a big fan of Hanifin. He should be available in most leagues, I think.
Yep.
I can't see him taking up too many spots. If you really have a need for a defensive spot, I would pick him up, stream him week to week. Carolina's actually been scoring a lot of goals, like I talked about earlier. Skinner and Rask, these guys are getting points, and this is where Hanifin's feasting on these assists. So keep an eye out for him, and I would look for... I'd look for Hanifin and sub him in. If you got a dead player somewhere, or you just, quiet defense, like say you have Letty or something like that, or anything like that, or I don't know, any of these slower defensive, even like Markovs or people that's been quiet. Hanifin's definitely on the upswing, so I'd keep an eye on him.
Opportunity is there.
Exactly.
He's going to play top line. Is he power play top line?
Falk
probably is Folk's the
still,
main guy.
Yeah, Folk's still the number one there. I think he plays second unit power play. I'd have to look. I don't watch a lot of Carolina games. I don't know if they run a 4 forward, 1 defenseman first unit like a lot of teams do. But I know he has power play time. I don't know if it's just the second unit or the first.
First unit, actually.
Okay. So they do run the 4 and 1. Oh, it's just they put Falk on the second unit.
Oh, okay, that's why he's getting the points.
So that's why. Okay, so
pick him up immediately.
Yeah, he's playing on the top unit, so it's the four forwards and Hannifin on the top unit. That would explain. So that's even better.
That's a great pick.
I would pick him up even sooner. I picked him up today, so I put my money where my mouth is. So we'll see how it goes.
That is an awesome pick. Another awesome pick for you, Matt Niskanen. Wait, did you actually pick up Niskanen too?
I picked up Niskanen, and then I picked up Hannifin for Niskanen.
Oh.
I couldn't have both. I wanted both. I did like a mental coin flip, and I just landed on Hannifin. But yeah, Niskanen was my second choice, and 1B choice.
That's funny. Well, he's a riser for me this week. He is playing in Washington. I want Washington points. Ovechkin and Backstrom are going to get points. He's playing the top pair there. He's getting some power play time. 6 assists in 7 games. Pick him up. That's what you want from your defenseman.
That's what you want. You want those primary, secondary assists. The team's gelling. He's gelling. What can you do?
I love picking up these defense that have, like, the Edmonton Oilers in front of them. Like the Klefbom or something. Yeah. And they have all these goals being scored every game. Mm-hmm. And Washington's one of those teams.
Exactly. My last rising defenseman is... Never thought I'd say this in my life, but the Radko Gudas,
barf.
Not just getting suspensions, throwing elbows, actually getting points. This is insane. Philly is scoring 5 goals a game again today. Gudas actually has a goal. He actually has a goal.
A goal.
Don't you mean
a fight?
Yeah, that's exactly that's what I would expected. But, I mean, if you really need a defense spot, Gudas is a good replacement there. It seems everyone on Philly is scoring right now. He's not getting the minutes, but once you get past like Ghost Bear and the other guys, he's pretty much the option. So
he is way low.
Oh yeah, his depth chart is low, but he's been performing. So I'd keep an eye out for him, especially if you're in a PIM league. I would rather have Niskanen or Hannifin, the guys you mentioned before. But he is a riser, so I got to give him the riser because he is. Actually on pace for some, you know, decent defenseman points. And he always has that psycho upside, so you got to keep him out.
Especially in PIM leagues, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You got to keep an eye out for this guy.
All right, some fallers. Since we already talked about Letty, I might as well talk about him again.
Yeah, I can.
He's my huge decline. 2 points in 7 games. The Islanders are not using him like they did with Boychuk and him coming over a couple years ago. I want to hold him because I think that the Islanders are just really struggling right now. Mm-hmm. I think that they will get better. Letty plays the power play, so I feel like he's going to be eventually, once that whole team clicks it all together.
It's Ladd, man. It's Ladd.
Ladd is bad.
Once Ladd starts clicking, Letty's back, I'm sure. No.
Hold on to Letty if you can. If you can stomach holding him for 5-10 more games. He is going to reward you with normal defensive numbers.
Yeah, I still don't see Letty finishing less than 45 points. The Islanders will figure it out eventually, and he'll start getting those points. But as it is right now, yeah, mega faller for sure.
Wait, can I do my next faller here? Because it's the same situation.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Jake Muzzin.
These are both players I drafted.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, that's funny.
Muzzin,
I cut both, so.
1 point in 8 games. LA's having a tough time scoring right now.
Yeah.
They don't have very many star forwards that are working for them. Muzzin, hold Muzzin too.
Muzzin, I'm less in love with than Letty, but he should be doing better. I have no idea what's going on in LA. They're just not scoring, but I feel... Well, I don't know, Muzzin always ends up with...
He
good
was like
points.
Fifth defense in our league last year.
Yeah, he's always
crazy.
Yeah, he's always really good fantasy. I have no idea. Obviously, like we mentioned before, as we talked about how brutal LA is when they start. I mean, I talk about Kopitar, I talk about LA in general. So once those 20, 30 games they get in, they'll just start flying. So if you can hang on to them and not be crippled by those kind of points, you'll get rewarded for sure.
Yeah,
they're just notoriously slow starters, and I didn't realize Muzzin was that bad. I thought he at least. Had 2 or 3 points, but 1 in 8 games, that's rough.
Yeah, those are my two, like, hold defensemen that are in the decline right now, but defense are so wishy-washy anyway.
Yeah.
Go ahead, who do you got fallen?
Okay, so I got 1 star for sure, since I'm just hating on everyone, is John Carlson. This might have been a first defenseman for some teams in your leagues. I know it was in our league. You think the guy's an auto lock for 50 to 60 points. We did get a couple mail questions about how we could rate. Well, me personally, I am still a Carlson fanboy. I thought he was going to do great, but my co-host here, Travis, so far has quite wisely predicted Carlson not doing anything, so I have to give props to him. We did get a mail from a guy not happy with that Carlson prognostication.
Yeah.
But as it is right now, it looks pretty good. I mean, he's been ice cold. I mean, I don't get it. You play in the top power play, and all you have to do is pass the puck to Ovechkin and let him shoot it. But he's been brutal. So I don't know. If you have Carlson, I'm sure he'll come back. But it's been eight, nine games, and he maybe a handful of points tops. So I would be looking at him. He's a major follower for me. As we just talked about Niskanen's emergence.
Well, I was going to say, we did these lists separately and then brought them together.
Yeah.
And it's funny how one faller is another one's riser.
Yeah, seriously, because
Niskanen, Carlson.
Yeah, Carlson is, I don't know how much longer they're going to keep him there on that, I mean, on that power play. Maybe they're going to do a little swap, put Carlson and put Niskanen back on the top because one's moving, one's down. But as it is right now, I mean, you're not going to cut Carlson by any means. I don't know if he's worthy of trading for someone unless you could get a really solid person.
There's a lot of Washington fans out there. Maybe someone...
Oh, yeah. Someone will buy him for sure. I just feel Carlson will eventually come back. He just won't get to those... Well, it just doesn't seem he's going to get to those points that I was predicting, which was approaching the 60 points mark. So we'll have to see what he's doing. But as it is right now, Carlson is... he's not doing very well. So he's definitely fallen.
He is.
My other faller... is Brody. Brody only has 2 assists. I predicted Brody to do a lot better. I thought he was going to approach those 50 points this year because it was more of a split. But it looks like Hamilton actually found his own. Hamilton got 3 exactly. points last game. I think that's pretty much writing on the wall for Brody offensively. I thought they would sort of, you know, give the offense a little bit more of a split thing, but he's playing second unit power play, I think. I'm not really sure...
Yep, he is.
Yeah, there he is, yeah. So, he'll get 40 points, I'm sure. But as is right now, 2 assists in 10 games on a team that's scoring pretty good now, and especially from their defense, I'd be looking to move Brody. I wouldn't even keep him. Just cut him, move on, try to find someone else, and just move from that position. Because as is right now, it just looks like it's going to be the Hamilton-Geo show in Calgary. So,
kind of Calgary.
Yeah.
Like, they're just struggling.
We knew it was a matter of time that Hamilton had to take over the role. You don't trade the picks you did and the stuff you did to get a guy like that and not give him the opportunity.
Yeah.
I have another defensive faller I was going to mention. It is Torrey Krug. I had Krug last year, and he did awesome. He was looking like, you know, well, he is still the number one in Boston. He's been an absolute ghost.
What about Chara? Chara's the number one in Boston.
He's number one in height, maybe, but not in, like, role. Krug still plays number one power play unit. I have no idea why he hasn't have any power play assists or anything going on. He's been ice cold. So, I don't know what you do with Krug. I mean, it's tough to cut a guy who is literally the 1A option on a team. So... hang on to him. Maybe you can bench him if you're lucky, but...
Krug did really well because Chara was injured. That's why he did so well.
Yeah, but I mean, even when he was there, he was still producing at a much...
He's still producing.
Yeah, at a much better rate than he is right now. I mean, but... yeah, if you have Krug, I feel for you. I didn't draft him. I wanted him. I really did, but I didn't get him. He was taken before me, so... it's a tough spot to do with him. He still has the opportunity, still getting the minutes. It's just the team's letting him down, or he's letting himself down. So he's another guy I would cut and look for some of these risers instead, or trade Krug to someone based on last year's performance and maybe try to get something out of it. But as we are like 9 games into the season, he's been an absolute disaster fantasy-wise.
Yeah, he might be one of those guys that you hold off until Chara gets injured.
Yeah, or...
and maybe you need some sort of big shift.
Or some... maybe that... what's that guy's name? Danton Heinen. Maybe that's the solution.
There you go.
We'll get Heinen to Krug. You heard it first. Krug Heinen is the new dynamic duo on the Bruins. So, yeah, I don't know. It's tough to be a Bruins fan right now. So, I mean, well, whatever. You got a 1-0. They're not doing awful. It's just the Stars are not doing very well. So,
yeah, not good for fantasy anymore.
Yeah, they need Pastrnak back. It's just tough.
He'll be back soon enough. He just had a 2-game,
3-game,
3-game suspension. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the goalies. My riser is not really a big shock. Well, it's a big shock to the hockey world, apparently. I put Fleury as my riser goalie. 4 wins in 5 games. Who's that other kid? What's his name again?
Exactly.
Murray? I don't remember who that is
why
anymore.
Why was Murray in these hockey magazines to get 40 wins or something? 37 wins? And Fleury? I know me and you both unanimously agreed that that was a joke. We had no idea how that was going to be possible. If you took Fleury as your first, or sorry, as your Murray as your first goalie, I got nothing to tell you. We told you the same thing, that this guy was not a regular season. I mean, he hasn't even played a regular season game.
Yep.
He's been a backup for 3 games now.
Yeah.
I really doubt Fleury's going to relinquish that hold anytime soon.
And the thing is, Fleury is playing amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he is so hot right now.
Yeah, I mean, talk about ultimate, like, inspiration.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just some scrub backup on the bench. It's the guy who won the Stanley Cup. It's like, as if I'm giving you my role. This is my team, kid. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to get my stuff in order. I'm going to get back to the playoffs. I'm going to prove everyone wrong. I'm Fleury. So
Murray did get... was drafted ahead of Fleury in our league.
Yeah.
Of record.
And
when we did that, the 20 goalies, top 20 goalies, like, we just thought that was ridiculous that Murray would be up there. But, you know, you make those mistakes in fantasy, I guess. I was all for Fleury, the best regular season goalie, or the top 5 regular season goalie, and non-fantasy.
Yeah.
Like, the last 5 years or something. You just can't throw that away.
Yeah, I got Fleury with my 3rd goalie pick.
Yeah.
And I am laughing.
That means probably 15 other goalies went before that?
At least, minimum, yeah. So
that's crazy.
He was there on the board, and why not? You have to take Fleury. Hopefully someone out there was like me and took Fleury. Especially if someone took Murray before you, you can give him the old ha-ha kind of thing, because you're looking like a genius like I am right now with a 3rd Fleury goalie pick, because he's so hot. He's earning it.
Yeah.
You know Pittsburgh's going to win games? I mean, last night, they won a 5-4 game. Like, who cares? That's just how good Pittsburgh is. They can get scored on 4 times, and you can still bail out your goalie and get 5 goals to save him.
Yeah, and Fleury's going to reward you all season for doing that. But if you listen to this podcast, you already picked up
Fleury. Yeah, you drafted Fleury. I mean, you didn't even pick Murray. You were hopefully...
you were ahead of the game already.
Yeah, you were already projecting Murray for those 20 starts like we were talking about. So, yeah, Fleury, massive riser, no excuse there. My other riser is the same thing. My other goalie I drafted, I just want to put that out there, how good I am at fantasy goalies. I got Dubnyk as my 2nd goalie. Just currently set the Wild record for shutouts. Are you kidding me?
Was that 3 games in a row?
3 straight shutouts. I don't know. Can't say I was expecting that. On pace for probably, I don't know, what's that, 35 shutouts this year. Kind of insane. Obviously, he's not going to get more than 8 or anything, but we'll see how it goes. If you're in a league that rewards shutout points like we do, we give it a double point win kind of thing. Like, it counts as 2 wins. The points are there. If Dubnyk is somehow available in a league, I would pick him up. The Wild look great, and he is in the zone. I don't see a backup taking a start from him while he's on this streak anytime soon. There's no way they're putting in Kemper or any of these players next game while Dubnyk is this hot. They're getting 22 shots against a game kind of thing.
Like, and that's the thing that is so good about Minnesota, is they don't let shots through.
Yeah, it's like Kings-style hockey.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Just make the saves, push the shooters to the outside. Dubnyk's a huge guy. They're going to hit him eventually. Yeah. He makes 1 or 2, you know, saves he has to, like the big saves, and then preserves their shutout. Like, yeah, I'm a big fan of Dubnyk. I've been loving him since he got traded to even Phoenix. So hopefully if you picked him up, you've been rewarded so far like I have. And Dubnyk is definitely, I would say, the biggest riser outside of Talbot, which we talked about last week.
Yeah,
because
we did.
What can you do about Talbot? But 3 straight shutouts is... it's a goalie's dream. I don't know how many goalies even accomplish that in their entire careers, let alone, like, it's insane that one season so far. So, massive riser for Dubnyk.
Yeah, in those leagues that only have one goalie, Dubnyk may not have been drafted.
Yeah, no, seriously, even like those
10-team leagues,
or...
maybe he's 11 or 12th on the list. So, he's a good pick if you have, let's see, who else? What if you have a Lundqvist? Would you ever switch that for a Dubnyk?
I would 100%.
There you go.
100%. Yeah, I think Minnesota's not going to win the cup, don't get me wrong, but they're clicking, they're looking good.
I think they're on the rise, whereas Rangers are on the fall.
Yeah, I think, as is right now, Dubnyk is a top 5 goalie. It's, what else can you say, right? So, see how it goes from there.
All right, let's go into the one goalie, or 2 goalies that are falling from here, the Winnipeg goalies.
Yeah.
Well, let's just put all 3 of them in there. Pavlik, Hutchinson, and Hellebuck.
I mean, we talked about this preseason... about just the headache that is the Winnipeg crease.
Yeah. I didn't listen to my own advice.
Yeah.
I left the goalie till the very end, and then I decided to pick up Hellebuck because that's what they were kind of leaning towards. But now Hutchinson is coming in and winning a couple games.
Yeah, he had a shutout recently. He's been doing good.
And then they get shut out.
And then, yeah, Winnipeg can't score against Buffalo of all teams now. So
I would just steer away. Do not pick up a Winnipeg goalie until there's a number one in place.
Yeah, you were telling me before the pod that they're looking to trade.
Yes.
So that is the whatever best words you can hear as a Winnipeg goalie owner is please trade Pavlik, please trade Hutchinson or Hellebuck or anyone so I can get down to a two goalie system, a 1A, and just ride that if you need that goalie spot. But as it is right now, yeah, I mean, what, you got a goalie that it's like a 1-in-3 game system, like that. I think Hellebuck had one back-to-back start, like,
and they're far between. They're just going back and forth. Yeah. Someone's gonna eventually get the starting job.
Yeah,
probably 30 games into the year. Yeah. I think they'll figure out what's going on there, and then they'll ride it. Yeah. They were saying that Pavlik had the most interest because he's in the AHL right now. Mm-hmm. He's not actually playing, and he's doing very good in the AHL, is what they're saying. But other clubs have phoned and asked about all three.
Yep.
So I guess you got to move one of them.
Yeah, there's no excuse to have that kind of, I mean, I'm going to say talent, air quotes, for goaltending. Like, they're all three average goalies, so there's no point of having three. It just makes no sense, so who knows where they're going to go.
Yeah. And that's not really fair to Hutchinson or Hellebuck, because they're not getting the starts they need to get better.
Yeah, how are you supposed to improve when you play 20 games a year, right? It's just, it doesn't make sense. So one of them's got to go. If one of them gets sent to a monster team like the Kings, I know we keep saying this over and over, obviously look into drafting them, but other teams that are beat up goalies, Phoenix like that, it's still not going to improve. They're not game stealing goalies yet.
Yeah.
So
they just need the time, like Jake Allen, Gibson. These guys need to play a lot of minutes to get experience.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all it is.
My last follower goalie is Miller. So I know we were talking, I don't know if we ever aired this on the segment, but we were talking to each other about coaches that would be fired. Our unanimous consensus was between Tortorella, and I was talking about our Willie Desjardins, our Tigers boy. So, of course, the Tigers guy looked like he was going to escape. You know, Vancouver's off to a perfect start. They're coming from behind. Goaltending's good. Markstrom's good. But now they're playing Miller nonstop, and this team has
five
lost 5-0. This is the Vancouver we expected and predicted, and I feel a little bit better about myself because me personally, I was destroying Vancouver. I know Travis likes Vancouver, but you can't be a fan of a team that's so bad. But I mean,
sad.
You're still a fan. It's just, you're not going to watch the games kind of thing. I mean,
I'm not going to be as involved.
Yeah, exactly, right? So
I'm sure all the Leafs fans for the past couple of years are just yelling at the podcast right now.
Yeah.
Like, I've been a fan of the Leafs for 10 years. How can you say that?
Yeah. But at least they got something to look at. But we knew they were going to be this bad. Finally, the stats corrected themselves.
And
so Miller's been doing awful again. He's been a trade bait goalie. He has to go. It makes no sense to keep Miller on a team that's struggling. Get whatever third round pick you can get for this guy or something. Like, I mean, in the real world, not in like fantasy world. I would be surprised if he stays on the team much longer.
What do you do with Miller fantasy wise if you have him as your goalie? Do you drop or do you keep or?
Depends what's out there, man, I guess. Like, if he's going to get the starts, because Markstrom played last game, who I had, and he got shellacked 5-2 by the Capitals, which is whatever, it's the Capitals, it's going to happen. So I imagine they're going to go back to Miller next game, and if he gets beat up again, it's probably time to look for a new goalie. I don't know, a lot of leagues, well, it depends. I think our league might be kind of unique with the amount of goalies we draft. So if you're in a league that only drafts two goalies, then you have no excuse to have Miller on your team. There's tons of goalies you can find better than that. But if you're in a super deep goalie league, I guess you have to keep him because he's still starting.
So here's my tough question for you. Miller or Elliott?
Elliott, you have to, I guess.
Elliott?
Yeah. I would rather have Elliott. Yeah, for sure. I mean, they're both starting. They're both kind of in, like, weird positions. I just still think Calgary's a playoff team, and I still have more faith in Calgary than I do. And Elliott's too good to not figure it out eventually.
Okay, I got one more for you. Miller or Leonard?
Leonard, I guess. Why not? Oposo's back. They're scoring. Once Eichel and
Kane?
Michael and Kane are back. I know you were talking about this before the pod again. I know we say that a lot, but this team actually is probably pretty dangerous. So once they get back, I'm sure Leonard will start chiseling some wins there. But as of right now, it's a tough one to decide to do with Miller. But if there's goalies out there that are starters, take them for sure.
Yeah.
Vancouver's not winning any more games.
And if they do, it's going to be split time.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
From here on out. Yeah,
like, I picked up Markstrom because I thought he'd just emerge as the number one finally, and they would trade Miller, but it looks like they're not doing anything with this dude yet. So if you have Markstrom, I feel you. If you have a bench spot, let him rot there until they decide to do with Miller. But as is right now, it looks like they're going to do like a 3-1 kind of start facing Miller. Because I kind of think that they're showcasing Miller. I know that happens a lot with this guy in particular. Yep. I know teams showcased him to get him onto the Blues that one year, and then they showcased him. Like, he's just... Everyone wants to be like, oh, yeah, Miller can get shutouts. Like, Miller's this Buffalo goalie of old. He's still got it, right? And then a team will pick him up. And I think that's what Vancouver's hoping for right now. That's my only possible suggestion of why this guy keeps getting starts after going, like, 0-5. So... Yeah.
Can you imagine if Young Miller was on New Buffalo?
Yeah, exactly, right?
What if, like, the Miller of old was in the crease for Buffalo right now? They would be playoff contenders.
They would make a huge push. And let's just go back in time, and I'll pick up Briere, please.
Yeah,
I want 10, 15-year-old younger Briere. Maybe a Finneganoff, whatever. That team is so cool to watch.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is not Miller of old. Don't get us wrong, so... That's my best prediction of what is happening with him, is that he's being showcased and he's going to get moved, because there's literally no point to keep Miller on a team like Vancouver. They're not going to make the playoffs, and it's just, why have a veteran goalie on your roster?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what his contract money is wise. I don't think he's getting paid too much.
They just signed him for a little one. I thought it was like a 2 or 3 year thing.
So he's cap friendly for a team to pick him up. So
yeah,
I would be surprised if Miller remains on Vancouver midseason. I'd be very surprised.
Before we go to the kudos for the week, I want to remind everyone that you can check us out at Fantasy NHL Talk on Facebook and Twitter. Lots of questions coming in. Lots of questions that I have to look into because I don't know the answer. It's fun, though.
It's cool. I mean, we've been getting questions like deep, deep dynasty questions. Players I've never heard of in our lives. So we've been actually trying to read into this. We'll give a shout out to the Tigers guy. What was his name? Shepherd or something, you said? He was the leading scorer of the WHL. He's the guy on the Tigers, Minnesota boy.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll give him props. So there's a deep, deep dynasty pick for you guys. We don't really pay too much attention unless it's a super big name. We keep basically to the AHL style as the lowest we'll go. Our leagues don't really reward the deep fantasy drafting. So that's kind of the stuff we keep into. But we love hearing the questions, and anything that, you know, makes us look and, you know, broaden our horizons is really cool. So keep them coming.
Yeah, tons of interesting questions. Feel free to hit us up, Facebook or Twitter. We're checking both those regularly. Do you want to say something about Budaj quickly, just in the risers? I know you said last week.
Yeah, Budaj, I think, is for real. I misread on my calendar that they started 3 games in a row, but I didn't realize that they get Halloween off.
Oh.
Like, October 31st, there's no games. That, to me, blows my mind. So I don't know why, but I guess NHL wants their players to get the Halloween off. So I imagine Budaj is going to start today again, and he's going to get the day off tomorrow and start again Monday. So... start again Tuesday. So keep an eye out for Budaj if he's still available. This guy's still a massive riser, and it looks like he lost his last game, but if you lose a game 1-0, it's never the goalie's fault. Like, you're just never going to win a game without a goal.
If you're letting in one goal, your team should be able to win.
Exactly, right? Exactly. So it doesn't make a difference. If your team can't score, you're never going to win as a goalie. It's just how it goes. So don't be like, oh, yeah, Budaj's on the decline. He just lost. No, he's not.
Yeah.
I picked him up literally this morning because I saw that my schedule actually permitted the day off, because I thought they would give this Campbell kid a backup a start, but I really doubt he's going to get one now, and I'd be rolling with him for the next 2 or 3 weeks till they announce what they're going to do. If Budaj stays hot, that's a huge boon for the Kings, because they get to save a draft pick, they get to save some money, they get to like not hit that panic button and be like, oh my god, Winnipeg, we need a goalie, or no, seriously, like one of these teams. So if he stays healthy, that's a I guarantee Budaj is available in almost all leagues, so I would definitely keep an eye out for this guy.
But we did say it last week. Yeah, or no, the last...
Well, Thursday. It's been 3 days. So.
Yeah. All right. Our kudos for the week. I'll start it off. Walking Dead season finale was...
Premiere.
Season premiere was last week. Insane show. It's makes you cry. It doesn't make you laugh. It makes you have a high amount of stress while watching it. But it's one of those shows you get, like, really immersed into, and you grow with these characters. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows what show it is. It's zombie apocalypse and stuff like that. Last week's show was especially gruesome. The wife was covering her eyes for some parts. But it's still a really good show. Lots of new things are happening. It's exciting.
Have they announced how long they want to do the show?
They haven't. I think they signed for 2 or 3 more years.
So they're going to go up to like the 10 years or whatever, or however long it's
been. Well, the comics are still going.
Yeah, that's true. So right? I guess the material source is still there. I'm not sure how... I don't watch the show personally, that's why I sound... I'm not just trying to ask questions here. But yeah, I guess the comics are still going on. There's a chance... I'm not sure how close they follow the comics, but if the material is still being made, I didn't even know that the show would still have another 2 or 3 years. That's incredible.
Yeah. So it's exciting. It's one of like the... It's probably one of the most popular shows on TV right now, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't watch it, but you hear about it all the time. Like, yeah. I mean, every day it's on the Facebook or whatever. It's just blown up with people talking about, oh, no.
Well, someone else died.
Yeah, I don't want to... I was just going to say who died, but maybe there's someone who hasn't seen it, so I don't want to spoil it on a hockey podcast, so you don't come here for that.
Go ahead. What's your kudos for the... After the last 3 days, you got another one?
Yeah, well, in 3 days, the best thing that's happened to me is the Pittsburgh-Philly game.
Amazing
game. I love that every time these guys get together, it's just a smorgasbord of goals, fights, elbows, hard hits, sweet... It's just... It's what hockey is about, and I'm hoping that both these teams makes the playoffs again because I love watching these series. It just feels like Philly always has Fleury's number, and it just brings out the best in all the stars on those teams. So that's why I watch hockey. That's what I got into it. I've been a Philly fan for a while, and I just love watching Drew Simmons and these guys bang it out. And so, yeah, that's been, I think, my kudos in the last 3 days. I was a big fan of that game. So that's...
There was a penalty shot.
Yeah, there's a Voracek penalty shot. Like, come on. Like, what else do you need? So... absolute awesome game. If you see one game thus far on your PVR, go to last night's Philly-Pittsburgh game. Watch it. It'll get you amped back for hockey. Tons of goals, tons of sweet saves, everything you want. And the Battle of Pennsylvania is still going strong. So big fan of that.
Yeah, it's super exciting to watch. All right, that's all the time we have for this podcast. Like we said at the beginning, we will be doing podcasts Sundays from now on so we can recap all the week's action, keep you up to date on injuries and risers and fallers. Remember to hit us up at Fantasy NHL Talk, Facebook and Twitter. And if you guys want to leave us a review or a like or a share, all those reviews get us noticed by the bigwigs and bump us up the charts, so they're always welcome. Or don't do it.
I mean, you're not making us money. This is still rising. Non-for-profit. Even if we ever get something, we're never going to charge for anyone to listen to this. If you give us some love, it would definitely be appreciated.
There you go. All right, we will see you guys next week.